Well, again, here we are at a wonderful day that the Lord has given us to enjoy. Amen. And I want to kind of touch upon and wrap up what I started last week. And that has to do with that love that's available, that love that He puts within us. You know, the things that God has and He avails Himself, He avails those things to us so that we can be different. And so that we can reflect Him in this place that He has you. How many here, God's got you in a place? I hope so, because I see you. You're in this place. You're in that job. You're in that family. You're in that group. You're in that whatever organization. You are there, and it's for a purpose and a plan that God has for each and every one of us. And what I want to, and what I have shared last week, is that love. It talked about that love. And I brought this together because I believe the season we're in is Christmas, the joy of the Lord and the birth of Christ, and that love came down. And there's some things that if you would like to and have that availability, feel free to go to the website, click on messages or sermons or whatever, and you'll have a multiple amount of sermons there to listen to, and the most recent one is on there as well. And that's last week, the beginning of what I'm going to end this week with. But it talked about the love of God. So John 3:16, God so loved the world. We were brought to, and I read through the love chapter of Corinthians that we always read through, 1 Corinthians 13, 1-13, visited on that. We talked about, out of 1 John 4:8, that for he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this whole thing to me is looking at myself, looking at, I hope you're looking at yourself, I hope we're looking at the church as Harvester's Church, the church that we are here to be a part of what God is doing, that kingdom of God. And that we want that love to show forth, don't we? You know, we come across sometimes very difficult people to love, don't we? Anybody ever had somebody come across your path that they've been kind of difficult to love? I would imagine we've all been there. And it's hard. But if I want to do what my God has asked me to do, what my God has put within me, it's to show that love. We read through and we got into Ephesians 3, and that's where this had taken me as far as the beginning of our message and all, and where it all began to formulate out of Ephesians 3. And we've read through pretty well the whole chapter there of 3, and now we're trying to go back through and just kind of pull out some things. And we got to that point of, I believe, around about 11 or 14, I suppose, of sharing about this chapter that Paul wrote. And let's just pick up because the beginning of 3 talks about the mysteries being revealed. And then verse 8 begins with like the purpose of this mystery. And then we get into 14, the appreciation of this mystery. Some of it would be verses 14 to 21. I like this in the Christian Standard Bible. Its heading there says, it's prayer for spiritual power. And boy, that's what I want. How about you? To have that spiritual power that is there for all of us. Many times we walk through situations in this life and we go through trials and temptations and all these things, and we go, I don't have the strength to deal with it. I don't have the strength to stand. I don't have this or that and power and strength or whatever. But we have the ability to have that power because there's a spiritual power. We, those of us that have received Christ, received Him as our Lord and Savior, they came within us, the filling of the Holy Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit resides with us as we have received Christ. Because the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, will lead you and guide you and speak truth to you. And the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance things that I have said. The Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance the things that you read in God's Word, won't it? Or I should say, won't He? You know, the Holy Spirit is not an it, it's a He. He will bring to remembrance. And it says, I like that, prayer for spiritual power. So, I need to pull that up, and I want to read it. I'm going to read it out of this Ephesians 3:14 out of the Christian Standard Bible. It's for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that He may grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through His Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and the width and the height and the depth of God's what? Love. And to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works where? In us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. We find these things that it's Christ to dwell in our hearts. It's by that of faith. Paul says, I pray that you be rooted and firmly established in what? Love. Because we know love is what it's all about. That you would be able to comprehend what is that length, the width, the height, the depth of God's love. I think for those of us here today, we've got a pretty good grasp maybe of the length, the height, the width, the depth of God's love, but we don't have it all yet, do we? Because there's still a part of our time that we go, I just don't understand it, Lord. I don't understand how you can love this person or that person. You know, there are sometimes even ourselves, Lord, I don't even know how you can even love me at times. But He says He does. We would share in the, I think it was Matthew, we looked at, you know, some of the greatest commandments. What is the great commandment? You know, love the Lord thy God with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your soul. And what's the second one? Is to love thy neighbor as yourself. Love. Love. We find love is a very hard thing to understand. We find that love is a very hard thing to comprehend. We have a distorted view of what love is because of what we look at in the world and what the world calls love. How the world exemplifies love is that of a worldly love. A love that I love you because I want something from you. A love that I'll love you as long as I get what I want. I'll love you if I can do this or that. But once this is no longer possible, I will drop you like a hot potato and go somewhere else. That's the love of the world, isn't it? In generality. And so when we come to people talking about love and God's love, the only thing those outside of God's kingdom that they can look at in love is what they've been identified with in most of their life. And it's the human side of love. It's this side of love in the world. And so it is very hard to get them to understand God's love in the beginning. It's hard to say that they don't understand, for God so loved that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. They don't understand that. No greater life, no greater love has a person for another than to lay down what? His life. No greater love than to do this. What's the commandment? Love. What's the second greatest? Love thyself, or love thy neighbor like yourself. Love, love. We've got to understand this love. I think Paul is helping us in Ephesians when he tells us, and it's there for us. And it's really God giving it to us for us to understand, if we would just comprehend that. If we could just comprehend that God has for us what He wants for us and receive it from Him. And His Word says, where you're weak, I'm strong. If you're weak in understanding love, if you're weak in having love, who's going to be the strong one in love? God. Ask him to help you understand these things. Let's see. Hold on. See if this will fit in here. I want to look at the verses that we just read. I think this will help us maybe. Let me read this. It's the Amplified. For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes place, it titles and derives its name. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man of the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. Wouldn't that be great? Let us strive or shoot for that. Wouldn't that be great? For the indwelling in your innermost being and personality, that the power of the Holy Spirit would be that deep in you that your I'm going to tell you what, when the Holy Spirit comes into you and you allow him to get deep into you, your personality is going to change. Don't you think? Personality, your whole being will change. People will look at you going, I don't understand you. You're not like you used to be. Well, I'm going to tell you, when Christ comes into your life and you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you better not be like you used to be. There ought to be what? A change. And a change for the good. The Spirit himself indwelling in your innermost being and in your personality. Oh, my goodness. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell. May he dwell. How about this? Will he settle down, abide, and make his permanent home in your hearts? This is the Amplified. Settle down, abide, make permanent a home in your heart. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devout people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves, that you may come to know practically through experiences for yourself the love of Christ? We have all got an experience of the love of Christ, right? Our salvation, receiving him as our Lord, for God to receive us as we call upon Jesus to forgive our sins, as we claim him as he's the Son of God, as he is Lord. It's our experience that you may be filled through all of your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Now to him who, by in consequences of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and to do super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think. Which means it's infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Could you imagine? Look at some of the things that you think of, pray about, and you think they're pretty high items and things that you're praying about. There's things even higher than that. Amen. Hallelujah. That power that's in us is able to carry out his purpose and to do super abundantly far above all that we dare ask. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. I think there's those times that we have not because we ask not. We understand, and we have to understand who we are in Christ. Amen? And that Jesus came to die for us. That God loves you. Be willing to ask far above, because there's things here that he's talking about, knowing him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask. Isn't that great? Does that tell me sometimes that maybe I don't ask high enough of him? or believe high and further the things that he can do? Do I believe that I am such a rascal that, oh, Lord, if you just take me from here to here, oh, I would be so great. But my God can take me from here to not just here, he can take me here and here and here. Far above what I'm even sometimes able to think about, because it's who he is. So we've looked at and we've read now, talking about this length, width, height, and breadth. Remember I shared in closing last week a little bit about my napkin here, and one thing I looked up, the dimensions, the length is one dimension, length and width is two, length, width, height is three, length, width, height, and depth is the four dimensions. And when you look at depth, when you're talking about the depth, it's how far in something goes. How deep is the love of God in you? And I think God wants to put us into the innermost part of us. Amen? By what Paul is praying and what we're reading and how important love is in the Christian and through that of Christ and what God says. But there's a lot of us that only want it to go so far in because we don't want to surrender our total being to him. We don't want to be fully engulfed, really, by the Holy Spirit or to a point. We want to keep certain things for ourselves. And that's just to cause that's the first step of being miserable, you know, is to have God and a little of you. To have the Holy Spirit in you and to still have a little of you in there, because the two just don't, they butt heads a lot of times, because the flesh wants this or that, or, you know, what we want to do and what I think I want to do. And it's not easy, but I know by what his word is, and as what did we say, the one heading in that Christian Standard Bible was the prayer for spiritual power, Ephesians 14 through the 20. Prayer for spiritual power. That's why we're failing in some of these areas, because we're trying to have this power in our lives dictated and supported by my abilities. Are you trying to do that in your own life by your abilities of that power, that strength, that ability to deal with things? Are you still a lot of in your own mode of dealing with those things? There's times I am. How about you? And then we get frustrated, we get upset, we get discouraged. We've got to come to the realization and understanding that the power for spirit, or the power that I have, and that spiritual power within us, is only going to come by way of that of the Holy Spirit as God works through him. God's word says he'll open doors. He will shut doors that need to be shut. It talks about how he will not leave you nor forsake you, that he will make your ways smooth, straighten out your ways, whatever the case might be. As we look at God's love, we find that God's love will reach to every corner of your experiences. In a way, that's where this comes, if we think of it in this respect. It's wide, it's long, it's high, it's deep. What is that we're talking about when I say that? God's love. That's what the focus of Paul is in Ephesians 3 as he's reading through this, and especially in 14 or 8 or, yeah, 14 down. It's wide, it's long, it's high, it's deep. God's love. Just begin to think of that. God's love will reach every corner of your experiences. It's wide. It'll cover the breadth of your experience. We all in here today have different experiences. But his love will cover all of those. What about long? It continues through the length of our lives. It's ongoing. God's love is ongoing. God's love just doesn't stop at a certain age or at a certain time. His love, he didn't say, Tim, when you receive Christ, and I'm going to give you my love and the love of this and then love of Christ until you're about, oh, I don't know, 52 years of age, and then after that it's going to be gone. No, the experiences that I have in my life with Christ is long. It's continuing the length of my life. The love that God has and the experiences that you're having with it is going to be for the totality of your life. Do you believe that? Amen. See, God's love comes and it doesn't leave. It stays with you if you're willing to grasp a hold of it. How about the height? It's high. It rises to the heights of our celebration and joys. Anybody here had exciting things in your life that you were excited about and you celebrated the highlights of your life? What about that? And the joys? Haven't we all had those things in our life? Exuberances and, wow, this was exciting. This was joyous. This was a powerful time in my life. Oh, I was so excited and happy and love. That love goes to that level. But even better than the width, the length, or the height, what about the depth of God's love? It will reach to the depths of discouragements and despair. See, in our life that we live, is everybody here always just been on a spiritual plane of joy and excitement and exuberance all of your life? Or has there been some of that, as well as have you had a time of discouragement, despair, sorrow, pain, suffering? You know, that joy that was with you when you're up, or I should say the love that you have when you're up and the love of God, He's with you when you're down in the doldrums. So it covers your experiences. It'll be with you for the length of your lives. God's love will celebrate those joys and the height of exuberance that you have. And God's love will be with you into the depths of discouragements and despair that you're in. I tell you what. It's comforting to know that. Especially when you're in the downside of life. Especially when you're going through difficult times in lives. You've got to have something to hold on to. Amen. You got to have something to help you get through it. Because if you were out of the world, you would probably say, forget this and just whatever, and just vacate or leave or drop the whatever. You're just like, enough's enough. But when we go through our difficult times with our jobs, with our friends, with family, with whatever the case may be. Oh, Lord, you love them. You want me to love them. They're hard to love. I really don't get much joy in loving them, Lord, but I know it would please you if I would love them. So would you give me the strength to do that, Lord? Would you give me that ability to love as what you see them as? We had a discussion in past week in regards to some things, and one of it had to do with attire and stuff like that and the way people dress and whatnot. And it's like, you know, a lot of times people can put on a good show with their outer garments, can't they? They look really well put together, don't they? They look like, wow, they've got it all together. Look at them, dressed pretty, up to date, coordinated. Everything matches, nice material, clothing, whatever the case is. They look well put together. But that's where? It's on the outside, isn't it? It kind of reminds me of where I was thinking of that. Was there a scripture, and I didn't go to the point of looking it up, and it doesn't come other than it's like, you know, talking about, you know, you that are like white sepulcher graves. You look good on the outside, but what's on the inside, you know? And it is okay, you know, for attire and dress and things like that, but it's like, you know, sometimes I think in our world we put a lot on that to where it's kind of like a veneer. It's like camouflage. I was trying to think, like going hunting. When you go hunting, you want to, you know, you want to blend in and all that. And different things like that. But, you know, and God looks at that. But God looks more than the outside. He looks where? on the inside. He looks at the heart. He looks at the being of that person. And that's what counts with God, is what's on the inside. How is that person handling it? What is on the inside of that person? Am I, God, am I so infused in that person's life? Am I in so deep into their heart, into their being, that they just kind of ooze out me to people around them? You know, that's what God wants us to do. And so, you know, we can look at these things, but we can have the power to do this. We have the ability to do this because God is there for that. The Holy Spirit is there for that, the power of spiritual power. We find through reading Paul's writings that God's love is vast and complete. One area, and I'm just going to read it. You don't have to turn back to it, but talks about God is speaking of His greatness, and He spoke of that to many people in the Bible. Right? We can go through a lot of this, but and on Tuesday I was trying to find this, and it was in Job. For whatever reason, I had Job 11:7 put on my little napkin here, and so I looked at that. But looking at Job. That took me to Job. That was someone speaking of the power of God. This is God speaking to Job. In Job 38:4-5, now this is God speaking of His greatness. This is the easy read version. It says in verse 4, "Where were you when I made the earth? If you're so smart, answer me. And who decided how big the earth should be? Who measured it with a measuring line?" And he's speaking to Job. You know, we're like, "Oh, God, who is God?" Have you ever had that at times when you've thought of something about, you know, doing it a whole lot different than what God would have done it? You know, like, "Oh man, God, I think I've got the idea of how this could have been if you would have done it this way." And one of these things comes back to me, and this paraphrased in my life for the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit brings this back to my thoughts. "Where were you?" God would say, "Tim, where were you when I created this place? How did you know it was going to turn out? Where were you in all of this, Tim?" Boy, when I hear that, it knocks me down a few rungs. How about you? And it's like, "Well, okay, God, you're God. Where were you when I made the earth? If you're so smart, answer me." Job 38:19, "Where does light come from? Where does darkness come from?" All these things that he's quizzing Job about, these things. But all of that to say this, is when we get into the end of this, where we're talking about, "And to know Christ's love that surpasses the knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." This here in Ephesians is talking about in God's love that surpasses knowledge. We can't understand it. We can't fathom it. There's a lot of things in God that we don't understand. Do you agree? Whether it's His love, forgiveness, His strength, His power, His abilities, sometimes we get totally misunderstood about how do we understand God, and sometimes you don't need to really understand Him. You just take it by faith. You just take it for who He is. He's God, the Creator. Everything that we see around and we have a part to play in, it's all through Him as the Creator. So that's just a side note as far as the greatness that was spoken to Job of God. This is that greatness of how Paul is sharing that God, you will not understand Him. It's hard to fathom these things. His knowledge, it surpasses your knowledge. But the one thing is, God wants us to be full of Him. Has anybody ever came up to you and say, "Boy, you're really full of yourself"? Have you heard that before? Not maybe saying it to you, but have you heard that description to someone in the natural? Or you're talking at a group of people and somebody will say, yeah, old Bill, man, he's full of himself. What's that tell you? You really can't tell him anything because he knows it all. You know? "I've got the answer to everything." And he's the one that you don't even want to be in the crowd, or she, when you're getting into a conversation, because they will just come and take over the whole conversation. It's like, oh, geez. Why, you're really full of yourself. A lot of us are really full of ourselves. Sometimes the church is really full of itself. We need to be full of God. His church needs to be full of the Creator. The Creator that spoke it into existence. The Creator that put this here. We look at our church here, Harvester's Church. Why did he open this up? Why did he have Pastor Hoblet plant this, you know, many, many years ago in 1983? And we look at things around and this, that, and the other. And we got a wonderful facility. We got a property that's just beautiful and quiet and peaceful. You would think people would be just breaking down the doors to come out here. You know, hopefully we're sharing the words of God. We're sharing what God wants his people to hear, that you've got to get rid of yourself and have him totally. You've got to become less of yourself and become more of him. We got to speak of sin and what sin is. We got to speak of what God is looking for in people. We got to look at what God is looking for in a society and not back down. And I'm hoping and believing and praying and trying to stay on task with God that, Lord, people that come here, I pray and I hope and I'm hope I'm doing justice to you, God, that we're using your word to help them change their lives. It's not 5 points that Tim can come up with some kind of little gizmo cliches that's going to help you be a better person. The only way you're going to be a better person is taking God's word, amen, and reading it, studying it, let it get deep inside of you, and really begin to become filled with him, filled with the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I can't change you. You can't change you, but I know who can change you. But it takes surrendering on our part and believing and trusting him. And he truly wants it for us. To know the love of Christ which passes the knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Knowledge of God's love is far beyond the capability of man's reasoning and experiences. It can only be known by us, by his children, by those that are kingdom kids, those that have that relationship with him. You can't, it's hard to bring this to an understanding of people outside the realm of him. And it's sometimes, isn't it interesting, it's difficult to even sometimes bring it into the realm of those that call themselves followers of Christ, that they still have a battle with that sometimes, or a disconnect. For us to know the fullness of God is the greatest fullness. What do you want to be filled with? I want to be filled with the fullness of God. Because if I am, then I've got everything that he wants me to have. Love, joy, peace, comfort. When speaking of all the fullness of God, it is speaking of more than just one experience or an aspect of his truth or power. It speaks to the broad base of spirituality balanced through participating in all of God's blessings, all of God's resources, and God's wisdom. It's more than just one experience. And many times people in the Christian faith, they come into a one-time experience, and that one-time experience really got them on fire for him. It did something initially. It ignited something within them, but it was just that one-time experience. And after that one-time experience kind of wore off, they kind of started going back to where they came from, or they began to look and say, well, God, it was so wonderful to be with you, you know, a year and a half ago or 5 years ago. It was, you were so powerful in my life and I was getting so much from you, but now I feel like you've turned a deaf ear to me and I'm not hearing from you, and maybe you don't care about me, and then I go off into my own world then. There was some time back, I began to sense that 5 or 6 years ago. It's like, I might have even told my wife at one time, but it's like, you know what? I'm not hearing God like I used to hear God. I look so forward to hearing from God. Do you look forward to hearing from him in your time? It doesn't necessarily need to be a quiet, tranquil time. It's a quiet time per se. But it's just when you're alone or off to yourself, or you're just out there away from the normal things. And so one time I began to think of this. It's like, I have not had that closeness for some time with you, God. And one day I just took off and I just started driving. I didn't drive very far. Went to another town or one or two towns over from us, but the way I went and all was through back roads and the roads I normally traveled. And this takes me back to when I was working with Walmart because of the traveling I used to do. That's where I had my best times with God. That's where I heard him. That's where he spoke into me so many things about his church and the church that I guess eventually I found myself getting involved with that I didn't know I was. But even back then, he was showing me some things about how people are and how they will react and how they won't react and how they will be there and then they will be gone and don't be surprised and this. And he brought me through so many scenarios, and it was just like vividly watching a movie of church growth or church loss and different things. But it was those times that I was out there that I felt that I was hearing from him so much more. Isn't that interesting? When I was working a secular job at that particular time, and there was times I felt like I was closer to God than when I became a pastor. How does that figure, man? You know? It's because sometimes when you get into that pastoring, you get into other things. You start thinking about other stuff that builds into the ministry, into the church, into the focus, into the direction. And you begin to look at some of the things that causes you to maybe look like, oh boy, this is a failing thing, or this is not fulfilling this, or why didn't this pick up? Why didn't they attend this? Why don't they come to this study? Why don't they come to that Bible thing? Why don't they come? Why? And so even as a pastor, it takes a focus to say you've got to stay close to God. Take that time. Because I don't want it to be just a one experience and that's it. I want his experience in my life to be ongoing. How about you? Well, when you find anything that speaks of the attribute of God, it's hard to be understood by man. This love of Christ is much too great to know completely. Our minds are not large enough to understand it. Can you imagine with all the mind that we have, and they say we only use a very small portion of our mind, it's still hard to understand it with our mind. It's not large enough. It's beyond our best prayers, our desires, our thoughts, or our hopes. This love is more than to know something in our heads. We need to express God's love in all of our daily experiences in life. His love is with us in our joys. His love is with us in our difficulties, in our suffering. If we move towards full devotion to God, we will come to understand the greatness of God. If we move towards, and this is just notes and things and I just put down here, if we move towards full devotion to God, we will come to understand this greatness of God. This greatness of God. Now to him who is able to express these things. In 19 it says, the love that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled with the fullness of God. There's just that fullness of God, fullness of God, fullness of God that I want. In verse 20-21 we just looked at, now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. So as we come to this chapter's close, we see the conditions of verses 16 and 19 are met. When the conditions of verses 16 through 19 are met, God's power working in and through us as believers is ultimately and far beyond our comprehension. Paul is saying in verse 20, it starts, it's almost like a hymn or a praise to God. God knows what we ask, and he knows it even before we ask. He knows our thoughts. He knows that what we are imagining. He knows what we dream. He has the power to go beyond any of these things. His thoughts and his ways, they are greater than ours. He's able to do much more than we could ever ask or imagine of him. The power comes from Christ. He lives in our inner person by that of faith. Paul is writing about that same power. That's that power that it talks about that raised Christ from the dead. If that same power is in you that raised Christ from the dead, he will quicken your mortal body. In verse 21, it's designing, or we look at that, verse 21, where it's talking about To him be glory in the church forever. Everything that there is will give God glory. It'll be forever and ever through all of the ages. This is the great master plan of the salvation that we have. He gave it to us by that of Christ. Christ's love and power, they are in us, the Christian. They are in his church, the church. We are the church. The church will work out the purposes in the world. We will go and do what he has asked us to do. It's important to have the church. It's important to have a place to where we come to meet as a group, to be fed, to worship, to pray, to exhort, to hear God, maybe as a corporate body, to pray corporately. And then we go out and we do and be about my Father's business. Amen? Amen. Kind of like what Jesus said, I am about my Father's business. But as we come to the closure of this, I want you to, if nothing else, keep reflecting or look back a few times on this chapter of Ephesians 3 and looking at that love, because the width, the length, the height, the depth, this is talking about God's love. Remember, we talked about the depth. Depth is how deep something goes in you. Last week, I think I kind of alluded to that. And it's like some of us keep God's love just like 3 inches under our skin. We get very offended fast. And then other times we need to have God's love go to the core being of us, to the point where offense can't get in. You know, it's like that of an infection. You know, if my skin is healthy to a point, it's good. But if I get a break in it and I don't take care of it and something comes into that skin and it goes deeper into my tissues, it affects me deeper. Well, you know, if I just have love on the surface like this and I get offended by somebody and I get a little cut there because I'm offended, and then, you know, distrust comes in and further offense comes in, it goes into that cut in my skin, as an example, and it digs deeper into my flesh, goes through my muscle, could even go into my bone if I allow it, that infection to go. But if I have God in me, if I have that love in me from the core of my being, then as offense comes, no matter how deep it goes, it doesn't go all the way to affect the core of who I want to be in Christ and what God wants to put in me, the fullness of him, the fullness of his love. And it'll make a difference to myself. It'll make a difference to those around me. It'll make a difference to the strangers that I come into contact with. And I believe it'll end up giving me pretty well a good week, a happy week, a joyful week, because of that love. Well, that's about the end of that, of his love. Well, that's not the end of his love. It goes on and on and on. But I think that kind of brings me to the closure of what God was bringing me through for chapter 3. I hope you enjoyed the journey with me. Add some notes maybe, I don't know. But just know that God's strength in you is what you need to take on today. To take on your tomorrows, it's God's strength in you, his ways, his abilities. And we love him for that. And he loves you. Amen.